Bless up for tuning in to Project Cheney. Magic happens when you question everything. Conspirituality becomes reality, weirdness is welcomed, and it's okay to change your mind. Big up yourself.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to another episode of Project Cheney. As always, I am projecting as the avatar known as Cheney to some. How is your week going? Are you hanging in there? Are you on your hamster wheel, being a good little hamster? Smiling at all the people you have to smile at to make ends meet? Well, good for you. That is not always easy, and it does not get any credit. So, for all the people that exist on the hamster wheel, which are most of you listening to this, kudos for not losing your ever-loving mind. Oh, I have stuff written down. I have an interview done, two interviews done. I had an interview canceled yesterday, which is something on my show for anyone that's future on or anyone I'm going to have on. I really rely on like this divine timing. And if it's not perfect and ideal with this chunk of time and relaxation and vibe cut out, it's just not meant to be at that time. And so I'm never really upset when life kind of happens and we kind of, you know, have to take care of real life stuff. So the person that I'm going to have on is, I was like, oh, I'm hesitant. I don't know if I should tell you guys. I should kind of give you a teaser, I guess. She's an illustrator and an author and, has great theories and downloads and stuff I want to pick her brain about and discuss. And she blows my mind. So, yeah, you guys should definitely check out Marissa Acasella, and I hope I'm saying her last name right. but she's pretty amazing, and I'm going to have her on soon. She has a book out called The Big She Bang, and it's the history of the universe according to God the Mother, and it's done in a really fun meme magic kind of way. So I think you guys can check it out. And maybe if you read it when I have her on, if you have any questions beforehand, it'll all work out divine in that way. So that was supposed to happen for you and it didn't happen, but it's going to totally happen. I trust in the way things kind of work in that way. So you guys should check that out. Anyways, I know I probably should have gotten it in my calendar first so my Maria doesn't get her as a guest. Just kidding. anyway, what do I want to talk to you guys about today? You just got to see a tiny bit of my Scorpio at the end of Libra season. I don't even know if it's the end of Libra season. Maybe it's in the middle. I'm a Libra rising, so be it. what do I want to talk to you about? One kind of thing I was thinking of is, just, shoot around the OCD of my brain is how everyone always talks about the Second Amendment and how important it is to keep our guns and how that's like this big, machismo of us as Americans, because it seems to be well, if they ever come for my guns, then a friendly reminder that your guns are only there to protect your First Amendment. So I think everybody should bone up on their First Amendment and their freedom of speech and religion and practicing their religion and remember that the Second Amendment is the muscle to protect the brains and the heart of the First Amendment. But they already came for your First Amendment. They've done it over a long period of time. They've bottlenecked us all onto the internet. And anyone that has an opinion that is literally against the narrative they're laying out for you, they're silencing. And to boot, I would say the symbol of free speech is your motherfucking mouth. And what a perfect way to cover that symbol, to put you in a mask. I also was wondering about the masks. I wonder if the blue and white is intentional. Like, why the light blue and white? What's that all about? I haven't done any digs on this or anything. It just shot into my brain right this second. Like, they could make them any color. They could be white. Is it? I mean, it's got to be extra money to add the blue, right? Or is it extra money to bleach out the blue? Huh. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, I think you should remember your freedom of speech, and you should definitely not worry about making people uncomfortable by asking questions when you know that you have love in your heart and curiosity on your mind. One of the brilliant things about having friends and people around that are so different than you, with so different walks of life than you, is you get to ask them questions to learn about a whole different culture that you're never going to experience in this lifetime on this timeline. So I think it's really important that we have these open dialogues and allow each other the freedom of questions without automatically assuming they're sexist or racist or homophobic or anti-Semitic or whatever the case may be. All the tag words that we put on things to make people quirk their opinion or their question. And I find usually that the uncomfort people have is because they lack the knowledge. So they get really uncomfortable because there's something said about their people. You know, they take this idea of all these are my people. And it's funny to me that we're the divide and conquer ways of like the hypocrisy of you're not allowed to like your nation because I back the nation I used to be from, and that would be okay. Like, I don't know. I got off on a tangent. Anyways, protect your freedom of speech, protect your freedom of religion, worship how you see fit, say the things that are heavy on your heart. They're the things that needed to be said. How was your week? Hi there, you guys. And this week in the Gabby Petito case, I saw something on Human Vibration, My Maria 777, that was that the Gabby Petito girl was in Unforgettable or some Irreplaceable, Sandy Hook video, music video, remembrance video. And it literally blew the skull cap off my dome. I was like, oh my gosh. You know, we used to see it. There was a lot of stuff that came out that there was the same actors in like the Boston bombing as there were in like London. And there was the same people at Sandy Hook as there was that were crying about their kids in like Hurricane Katrina. And, you know, they were using these same either CGI renditions or same crisis actors to play the parts of, or CIA agents, you know, whatever other secret society that we're, don't know exists, to play the parts of these people over and over again. And because we are all little nosy Nancys with nothing but time on our hands and computers at our fingertips and little nerds that create algorithms that we can drop any photo in and it can pull up photos on the internet, all the photos that it is, we started to realize some of these people might be the same people, or some of these people had injuries that they sustained maybe in a war incident, but then they were acting like they got their legs blown off, or they were acting like they were involved in, you know, some hospital trauma, but then we find out, no, they're totally a paid actor. And we have all the proof of this stuff over and over and over again. So then we get to something like Gabby Petito, and I, you know, bring these things up that, hey, she was also in Sandy Hook. And maybe that sounds kind of ridiculous that I painted that brush right now. Now, we're going to add to the Gabby Petito, Brian Landry, case. We're going to add Dog the Bounty Hunter has tracked him down. The kid that went missing, the boyfriend, Dog the Bounty Hunter has tracked him down and is flying an airplane around where he thinks he is. Signed, Dog. You guys, if there's anyone in your life, like, how can we still be watching this movie with any kind of idea that it isn't a cartoon? That they aren't there to just either draw energy off of you, change some kind of law sketchy, get your attention off something else, sensationalize stuff, program you, direct a narrative. Maybe one, maybe a few, maybe all of the above. Dog the Bounty Hunter. If you have any human in your life, any human in your life that is like, Dog the Bounty Hunter found him, I feel like you should, I feel like you should grab your pointer finger, the tip of your white glove, and pull it off a little. And grab your middle finger and pull the white glove tip off a little. Stare him in the eyes and look down and grab your ring finger, you know, of your most powerful hand. Pull it off a little. And grab your pinky finger and pull it off a little. And grab your thumb and pull it off a little. And then look him in the eyes when you, not because now you got a loose white glove slowly peeling off your hand. And as you peel it off your hand, and you lay it in your weaker hand, your weaker palm, spit in your palm and slap their fucking face. Slap their face. Don't get spit in your white glove. But you can get spit in your bare hand and slap their fucking face. I can't stand it anymore. Or just don't even waste your breath. Or this. Here's better. Here's better yet. If you're having a full conversation debate with somebody that you're wasting energy with, that they're talking about Dog the Bounty Hunter, do everything I just said, spit in your hand and slap your own face just in front of them. Just slap your face and say in Jamaican, no, sir, no, sir, I can't. It is so ridiculous. There's so many other words I want to say about the ridiculousness. I won't. And also there are so many other like little weird fun facts that I kind of want to, go into. But I also kind of think I want to talk about them, with Marissa when she's on the show. So I'm going to save them for you. So I'm going to have to like move around parts of this list. I do want to set up something, you guys. I know you can have rooms on Telegram, and I want to set up something maybe on my website where I can have like a private chat room by like invite only, or, I can go live. I think about going live sometimes where I can have like an actual chat room that's interactive, but I really am not trying to go live on like YouTube for just a free for all. That's not my vibe. Not that I don't have witches that could manage a chat room pretty comfortable for me where I wouldn't have to worry about, you know, trolls or whatnot. But anyway, yeah, that's not really it. It's really just the comfortableness of, like, there's a real energy flow sometimes. And anyways, I am thinking I might put something on my website soon that I do have some kind of thing like that. I would love to hear what you guys think about it, just because some of you have really crazy stories and some of other of you have crazy stories. And maybe if it was in a chat room type format, you guys might want to talk about your stories to each other. I don't know. But, and you can find me everywhere why I'm here. Anyway, I'm Chaney the Vampire Slayer on Telegram. I'm Chaney in Wonderland, which I'm totally locked tight shadow banned again, locked tight, tight. So I don't even think you can find it. But you can find me at Project Chaney on Instagram and projectchaney.com everywhere. If you love this and you feel, if you hit the lottery and you have everything taken care of in your life and you are laying on your yacht and you are like, you know, I get so much entertainment out of this. Feel free to Project Chaney my Cash App. No pressure. yeah. So I do want to add something like that to my website eventually, but those are all the other places you can find me since I was there anyway. But it was something I was thinking about this week, and I think it'd be kind of cool. I know other people do it on like Discord channels, and other people do it in all these other, I don't know. And then there's even a freestanding app, like its own app, where I can just put all of my stuff in kind of one place that all of you guys can kind of be too. I don't know. Tell me what you guys are into. You're great like that. Hit me up in any of those places or projectchaney@gmail.com. So, I told you about that. Oh, exciting in the news this week. And so I'm just going to manifest and send a message out to the great gods of the North, which I don't know if there's gods of the North, God of all the gods, hear this message. LeBron James and Biden both, quote unquote, got the COVID vax this week, the third booster shot. I don't know if it was LeBron's like first or second, and then Biden did a public display of his third. I'm not even going to say the rest. I think you guys know what I need, and I think the great God of the North, the God of gods, I don't need this make-believe sorcerer that I'm creating, knows exactly what I need. So that is in the news this week. It's kind of exciting. I always talk about the Church of Hollywood, you guys. I think we should also start bashing the cult of science because they aren't allowed to be wrong always. And I saw an easy meme that someone put, isn't questioning science in fact science? And it literally is what it is. And I think we need to start bashing the people that always try to act like they're smarter than everyone else because of bad science. And I don't mean just science with dollar bills, which is all the science anyway, from all the bad universities and all the things. And we never really hear about the quote unquote, which everyone, I like the, like how there becomes taglines that laymen use. And I'm calling myself a layman when I say this, where I'm like, do you know how many peer reviewed studies I've read? And it's like, but you hope that the peer reviewed study is something, but everything's just something paid for by something that might not be the thing that is necessarily good for you. And unfortunately, the bigger the corporation, the more money they have, the more money they have to give to whatever study they need. And if even if you're a good guy scientist and you're like, I'm trying to cure cancer, and you're like, I'm going to use all my own money and my off time to cure cancer. Well, that's just not happening. That you, if anyone is paying for you to cure cancer, any corporation is paying for that, and you come along the great discovery of curing cancer, they take it and they lock it away. And because there's no money to be made. And then they're going to slow release that in ways there's no money to be made if you're healthy. And which leads me into therapy. I'm just kidding. but I do think there's definitely not all therapists or all people, but in psychology and psychiatry, there is a big, huge conspiracy in the exact same way that they don't want you, like with all the mental drugs they push and antipsychotics and anti-anxiety and even really bad therapy and even very creepy people and energies listening to your traumas or hypnotizing you, which is next level magic shit that you should just not let anyone hypnotize you because they say they're a doctor, a therapist or whatever. Anyway, they don't want you to get better. There's no money to be made in saying you need to jog and drink more water and take long baths and cry it out and call your blank and say you're sorry. And they don't want to tell you these things because you get better and they don't want you to get better. They want to give you pills and they want to make you in need of them. In a weird way, it's like the medical system as a whole. And it's like a godverment. It's the same way as the way of thinking of a government like your God. Anywho, so the cult of science talk to you. Oh, here is kind of like a really fun thing that my Maria 777 posted this week. And it was a quote and it said, "Are you a destroyer of worlds or a creator of one?" And I know like instinctually, your first instinct is to be like, well, I'm a creator of one. And sometimes you have to like, well, it brings me back to like the Maeve and Dolores of it all from Westworld. And I've talked about that on other rants. And Dolores, I think, says one time that sometimes you have to like burn the whole thing down to really set them free. And so it takes this idea of maybe to really create the perfect world, you have to destroy the one you're in. And then the inversion, if they want like order out of chaos, are we supposed to chaos out of their order? Are we supposed to create chaos out of their order? Because it's not the order we're supposed to be in. It's not a divine order. It doesn't feel good. I don't think we're supposed to live on a grid. Well, I'm quite positive we're not supposed to live on a grid. At least not the grid that they see. Our grid flows. It's not these straight lines wrapped in rubber. Everywhere I look. It's one of the haunting things to me. I know a lot of people, they see the chemtrails like it sears them when they see chemtrails, like, of course, and more chemtrails. And I wake up this morning in my Skies plaid, which I totally am there for all that too. But that is how I look at power lines. I just feel like I feel these power lines everywhere. I see them. They pollute my vision everywhere. No matter where you drive, and anyone that's driven cross country or any, no matter where you drive, they're there. They're there. It's almost like you can't get away from these power lines. You will be in the middle of the mountains and there will be like a power line, like going over the peak of the mountain, busting through the fog. It's quite bizarre. And the different kind of power lines, like these enormous, huge metal things, just metal after metal after metal after metal. And all of our houses are attached by these power lines. Power. Who has the power? Do you have the power? Even when I pay, I feel like I don't have the power. Is your electricity power? They sure do have the power by making us feel like we need the electricity, though. Why is it their electricity to give you? If all these things like windmills and solar panels, generators, if all of these things provide power, why do you need it from the grid? And then how many of you in an anarchical mindset didn't even think about the grid? That's a very organized system. I'm so anti-grid. I'm anarchy with the grid. Fuck the grid. Yeah, I don't care. I'm kind of anarchy with electricity in general. I know I would miss my phone so much, which would make me miss a lot of my friends so much. So I will keep electricity today on this timeline. Thank you. Thank you, 10 Days of Darkness. One weird thought I don't think I talked to you guys about, but I do know I've said it with a few other people. Remember the chain shortage? Were they in America? I don't know if they did that everywhere around the world. In places that I've traveled, I have always thought it was quite interesting how the change always kind of is similar to, it all kind of has the same makeup in a way, where it all, no matter where you go, there's like a copper colored one. There's like a really bright, shiny, silver one. There's kind of like a muted silver coin. And so I was thinking, what if you took whatever a country's currency was, and if you were to melt it down, would it make a bullet? And so it was just a thought I had about why maybe a country would want to create a chain shortage. That, and, you know, any to force us into a digital currency. I think the great walk-in of tricking us into digital currency is nerve-wracking. I know that's where I differ from a lot of conspiracy theorists, where they think Bitcoin is the way we get rid of a federal banking system. I just don't understand, back to the grid talk again, or electricity or power, how your reliant on exchange can be on the computer and that be a good idea. It seems so far away from your actual act of service that you did or to gain the currency anyway. It's just a philosophy I can't get down with. It's dead energy cryptocurrency. I want to push it sometimes for some of my friends. I know a lot of people I really love out there are worshipers of crypto. And it just is like something that it does it when I sit on it or like try to kind of vibe with it. I can't get any reading on it that makes me feel like I can honestly back it. This is kind of a heavier thing for the people out there that are going through the firings or the walkaways of their jobs right now. And I'm proud of you that you're not getting a vaccine and you're taking your mask off, I hope. And it's if we consider what's being done to us and our freedoms taken away, like if we call them like brown shirts, you know, if it's a Nazi idea to do to us, then is it weird for you that you got fired from being a Nazi and you didn't quit when they first handed you the uniform? like some of you just play, like you just took your Nazi uniform off. You've been playing along the whole time. Some of you have been, you know, you have your Instagram accounts and you make posts and you talk shit and you sit on your pedestals and you black pill and you doom and gloom. And some of you red pill, some of you are very knowledgeable and you hit things with, but you then for your 8 hours a day, a third of your life, you went and put a Nazi uniform on for the last year and a half. And over the last however long, maybe week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, month, some of you have walked away or left, quit, fired from these positions, and you're scorching the Nazis that you worked for. You're scorching the badge that you just wore. I don't know. It's confusion to me for some of you out there. Like I have a confusion or like I have a, it's not that I don't think you have integrity and it's not that I don't think you have courage. It's just that I see some of you on that pedestal of like, look at these sheep still. Look at these slept people. Look at these people that think they have it. And I just want you to check your ego and realize that you just got off the hamster wheel yesterday. You've been yelling from inside the hamster wheel to the sheep with your sheepskin on. And now I know you think you're a wolf, but you're still a sheep. And it just makes me nervous over here. Like some of you, I question if I'd throw you a gun. Some of you, you know, are fucking gorillas. But spiritually and like insides, your insides are mush and you're still looking to the left and right for this. But I'm doing the right thing, right? Like I'm good, right? Like it's like, no, you have to know within you and stand up within you and be like, this is the time to take the stand. I'm proud of you that some of you that are taking the stand now, I'm proud of you of some of you that are standing in your truth to not fucking kowtow and take the job that's requiring the mask or vax. I am extra fucking proud of the motherfuckers that are taking the pay cuts and picking up the mops and baking the cakes and doing the jobs that they kind of never thought they'd do. And they've let their ego go with it. And they're kind of loving life in a way of like, instead of being like, fuck the system. Hey, you guys, but can you hit me up on my Patreon so you can help me fuck the system? They're actually going into this new world that we always talk about we want to create, but it actually is there right now. And it's called your friends and neighbors' businesses and helping them achieve a real dream. We always talk about these communities and these ideas of future utopias that we want to create. And we have some people that have these cultures and that are right here in our towns. And we could be a part of it, but we're reliant somewhere still on the octopus of technology and kind of what they told us to do. Like, we've all been waiting around for everybody else to crowdsource our courage. And now we're like waiting around for Nasara Jasara to crowdsource our laziness. We're waiting around for the people on Patreon to, you know, buy me a cup of coffee. I don't know. I think there's real exchange to be said when you just do the thing, whatever it means to you to swallow your pride in that way that feels like your TV pride. It's not like, nope, you're going to swallow your pride and take it up the fucking ass. No, it isn't that. It's you're going to swallow your pride and sweat. You're going to swallow your pride and get dirty. You're going to swallow your pride and stand alone in a room full of 100 people that have grimaces on their face at you and are judging you. I don't know. I guess I don't want to be like, you're all doing it wrong. A lot of you are doing it really fucking right out there. And a lot of you are wonderful and beautiful and taking care of so many things and taking care of yourselves and getting outside your comfort zone of anything that you ever thought you could ever believe in before. Or, you know, some of you are getting a massage and you're like, I never wanted to be touched. It was never my thing. I never thought I was into it. And oh my gosh, I feel like I'm going to do this for myself. Like, I can't believe how bliss I was just not somebody not needing anything from me and getting a massage. And I know it seems crazy, but these little ways that people are going out of their comfort zone and breaking their own awkward of like, I hugged my dad today. I don't know in my whole life, in my 30 whatever years, that my father ever even told me he loved me. And today I just grabbed him and I hugged him. And when I felt his body kind of reject it, I just didn't let him go. And that's kind of rad shit that you guys write me that it's, you just broke his matrix too. And you made him think about something with his mother or father or wife or other children or you in a way that you like set a Fibonacci spiral rolling in the right direction. I like that stuff. I like that a lot. So yeah, thank you guys for writing me that stuff and telling me ways that you're just breaking your own matrix and watching movies you never thought you'd watch, listening to music you never thought you'd listen to, put on an album that you're like, I always hated this because of this blank time in my life and this person that I always was just like that cunt. And so now I put on the album, I listen to it all the way through. I love it. I love it. I like that. I think it's good. And it's funny that this train's rolling by, right? Well, whatever. It just seems like it would be. So many of you have wrote me or had synchronicities or had moments with when I told a story. It was either last week or the week before about, I think it was last week, about the guy driving down the street with his overalls on, listening to Nicki Minaj, Starship. So many people sent me stuff about that, that it really made me chuckle, because when I told that story, it was so ridiculous when I was telling it. Like, I was had my eyes shut, like putting myself in this cowboy. Like, I feel like in a weird way, I probably gave you a description of my pappy, like of my grandfather's, my mother's father was pappy. And he was totally like a licensed alligator hunter in Florida and hunter in general, and Native American partially, and just a really stoic, masculine, calloused dude. So, yeah. Anyways, that a lot of you resonated with that story, and it makes me laugh, and it makes me want to put more details in things and kind of create those visual displays sometimes. I found really compelling radio in the last 2 weeks, podcast radio, and Deborah Gets Red-Pilled. You guys know if you've listened to this show, I've had Deborah on. It's the show she does with Adam, her son-in-law, and he tries to red-pill her. I almost don't want to give any of it away. If you guys go listen to the two episodes, I think it's 73 and 74 of theirs. But it's just very personal cut of like in a reality TV type way inside a very intimate piece of a family. And I've gone back and forth with who I agree with and who I don't, and what I would have done different or what I wouldn't have changed at all, and all my opinions and emotions and feelings on it. And that's really neither here nor there. When I just sit back and observe it, I just think a lot of it's probably like a lot of your guys' families out there in a lot of ways. In so many ways more than COVID, in so many ways more than California, in so many ways more than communism. And the conversations that are had. I really just think it's really interesting. And I don't, it's not even that I hesitate to drop how I feel about any parts of it. And I'm sure I will talk to Adam or Emily, that's Deborah's daughter and Adam's wife, or Deborah again, about all of it if it comes up in the future. But it just really is interesting where we're at. And I do applaud them both for being brave enough to record the conversation for other people to listen to. And as much as I wanted to be like, I don't know if it should have been done like that. I will say, I don't believe anyone was sideswiped or blindsided, or adults knew exactly what they were getting into and sitting down. And I think that's a very important part here. Maybe when we all try to have these conversations with each other, maybe we shouldn't be blindsiding people. Maybe both parties should be well aware of what we're about to do here. And, so yeah, if you don't, know what I'm talking about with Deborah Gets Red-Pilled, or you haven't listened to that episode, she's really beautiful and her energy is very calm. She just feels like a mom. And I think you should check it out. I liked it on YouTube, but you can find Deborah Gets Red-Pilled anywhere. I think it's called something like something with a baby boomer or something. I don't know what the episode's really called. But yeah, go listen to it, check them out. And that's all I have to say about that. I watch UFC 266. You guys, as I'm looking at this mark, I was going to attach, I did this really awesome interview. Well, I don't know if it's awesome. I know Caleb's awesome from the Primal Beast, and I'm going to drop his name every single time. And every single talk until I drop that episode, because I have all intentions, or that interview. I think I was just in such a weird down place, and it was like at the very end of it when I did the interview, that just to kind of go back through it, to edit it, to do the intro of it, it kind of gives me a little like, it's not because anything was weird or anything with him about the interview. It's just energetically with me. It's like almost looking at a picture of yourself crying. Not that I cried at all in the interview. It's just that kind of like heavy emotion. And I was going to put it on the end of this now, but I'm at this point where I'm at like a 46 minute mark. And, it would have been so rad if I did it at the 47-minute mark accidentally. Just kidding. But I'm at this point that I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to put it on this episode, but probably next week. And it was going to be anyway Marissa's episode this week. And then I was going to do Caleb next week, I think. But I've already yammered so much. I probably can yammer a little more. And I even have like the Deborah gets red pilled thing, like questionable. Like, do I want to talk about this? Do I want to even put my slippery shoes on this avalanche? But yeah, I did, I think. So speaking of awkward fights, no, I'm just kidding. It wasn't an awkward fight on Deborah gets red pilled. It's just real life stuff that we're all going through and talking about and whatever. It was awkward. What am I fucking lying for? Anyways, UFC 266. I did get down with that this weekend. And watch Nate Diaz. I don't really kind of know what happened in there with Nate Diaz. It looked like Robbie Lawler looked like a dragon coming out, and he was really working Nick Diaz's body apart. I was excited to see the oldest Diaz brother back in the octagon, but he was kind of getting picked apart. Later on in the fight, I was hoping as Robbie Lawler's cardio wore away, we'd see Nick take the last three rounds. But it was like a crazy uppercut or maybe right hook that Nick Diaz, he just sat down, and we never see the Diaz brothers quit, but we just saw him sit down and kind of call off the fight. He didn't want any of that smoke. Bullet Valentina, everybody knows, is one of my favorite fighters. She is the fighter I built my entire theory that UFC fighters are Red Sparrows. They're like Mossad, they're MI6, they're CIA. They're like the secret service agents that they're super soldiers that travel around the world. They can get into any country under the guise of Dana White. They're in my secret society of good guy comic book plan that I don't have, but I always talk to you guys about the white hat plan. but yeah, so I think UFC stars are super soldier secret spies, and Bullet Valentina is like the beast. And she is my favorite, and she's classy, and she can dance, and she can fight, and she can do it all. And she also is, and still, the champion again. She beat Lauren Murphy, which Lauren Murphy doesn't have a lot of shine. If you're not a hardcore UFC fan like me, you might not even know who she is, but she's been in the game. She's one of the oldest female fighters in the UFC, like, and fighting, like an actively fighting in the UFC. She's just tough as nails, and it really is just a testament, I think, to how many leaps and bounds better than all these women Bullet Valentina is. So she kept her title. Volkanovski picked apart Brian Ortega a little bit, and Brian Ortega, I thought, was going to submit him in the third round, which is the one I had picked, and that didn't go down. I'm not going to get into all the rest of these. I already realized I felt the energy, for real, you guys, of women in my audience and some men. Like, I felt the glaze at that point, like the same way when I was like, they're not interested in this conversation anymore. It was right there that I felt your hand about to be like, I'm just going to fast forward it 2 minutes, or I'm just going to fast forward it. So I won't talk about that anymore. But my secret society of good guys, Dana, Donald Trump's best friend, they're not best friends, but they're old mafia ties, blah, blah, blah. I like to mix everything in a conspiracy, but that was UFC 266, and that was kind of fun. Do you guys have movies that you watched growing up that you're like, I know I've brought it up in other ways, but you're like, you're like, that's creepy. Example being Interview with a Vampire, Kirsten Dunst with grown men, Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise, and the like sexual nature of their relationships, and in the what we know now of everything with the Pizzagate of it all, just that like normalization, and maybe even Anne Rice. Like, I know it comes from a book, but the whole entire thing, all of them are all like the same evil they to me. And just that when you were a little kid, you were kind of watching these like, ew, this makes me feel uncomfortable. Those are grown-ups. Another movie example of this would be Natalie Portman in The Professional. She was like a little girl and she was hanging out with this grown man. And another example of this in a whole different format that I know I've brought up before too, the Open Your Heart to Me video with the little boy and Madonna, where it was just like, there's just this energy between the two of them that's very Mary Kay Letourneau. It just gives me this like, normalization of, as long as the person's a good looking adult, we let them do this stuff to children, or we let this creepy energy go on. Not that that guy in The Professional was good looking with Natalie Portman. He was rather creepy. Eh, whatever. yeah, it was like this Mary Kay Letourneau vibe where it was, look how pretty this person was that was doing this. Look at, she just looks so, she's like the blonde hair, blue eyed, like the Gabby Petito of it all. Like she's like the Natalie Holloway of it all. It's like, we're always more surprised when the blonde haired, blue eyed, like, oh my gosh, and she's sinning. It's really, it's just a pattern that I see again and again. There's been a lot, speaking of the blonde haired, blue eyed girl, there's been a lot of Britney. I don't think Britney has blue eyes. I think they're brown. There's been a lot of Britney documentaries out this week. And if you think any of those Britney documentaries are telling you truths, they are leading you a narrative the same way as all the Q documentaries. So all the documentaries are all coming from the same sources. It doesn't matter if it's Netflix or Showtime or HBO or ABC or CNN. They're all coming from the same place to push the same narrative. So I don't, you know, obviously watch everything, but don't watch it in the way that you think you're being informed. Watch it in a way that you're stepping back from the storm and noticing the patterns, noticing like what they're trying to push. What are they trying to convince you of here? What are the, I think the easy things I always go back to is like when JFK Jr.'s airplane went down, they all of a sudden in a night, they started to push this idea that like JFK Jr. was this really reckless dude, like very like flippant race car driver type. Woo! Like, and he was never that dude. He was very calculated and always flew with his flight manuals and always, but for some reason there's always these push of, look at the Q movement, like how they mixed it in, all the Q documentaries came out at the same time that they pushed the whole fake narrative of the 1/6 insurrection, which we all know was supposed to be a lot worse than went off for whatever reason. And so they mixed that whole Q documentary time in with the 1/6 narrative, mixed in with the whole insurrection shit that they try to push all through politics. And, you know, here we are. So why with the Britney thing? What's going on with the conservatorships? What's going on with Hollywood? What are they trying to get in front of? What is really about to come out that the quote unquote bad guys are trying to get in front of? So I always just think, watch all that shit, especially Netflix. I don't know why anyone thinks anything from Netflix is like, it's such an illusion that like, because you get to click through this whole page, that the whole entire page isn't hand selected to feed you a narrative. Like somewhere there's still like this block for me. And, yeah, at how choreographed all this stuff is and how unbelievably choreographed I think it is, and how so many people still don't see how everything has been choreographed from you. Everything you find, everything you see, every bit of it, the printed books that you read, the art that you see. It's all choreographed for you. It's meant to elicit certain emotions, fears, and future actions or future traumas or future imprints. It's all programming. Okay. You guys, under Trump, under Daddy, I have to put a gummy bear in my mouth for that. So while Trump was the president, people pulled down half the statues in your town. They lit your businesses on fire. They killed your shop owners. They looted. And Trump said every day, all the governors have to do is ask, and I'll send in the National Guard. Like, all they have to do is ask. And they never did. They let all the fires burn and dark winter. And then, now, you guys are allowing the National Guard to drive your school buses. You're allowing the National Guard to man your hospitals. But you didn't want the National Guard to come and guard? Okay. I just think that is like spit in your hand and slap your own face. Okay. Orange man bad. Okay. Let's see. I told you Dolores Maeve stuff. I don't want to go into that stuff because I'm waiting for Marissa. I don't want to talk about that stuff because I want to do it on the beginning episode before I release Caleb. You guys, have I talked to you about the Masons being the good guys? Have I talked to you maybe about the Masons maybe keeping the secrets that we need eventually to move on from whatever this is, and they wrote it in stone? I feel like I have talked to you about that before. For some reason, when I started to say it aloud, I don't know. If you want to hear it, let me know. I talked about servitors. I do feel like I should do shorter shows and come at you more frequently. What are your thoughts on this? Hit me up and let me know. Like, maybe 2-hour-ish shows a week. Sorry if my gummy bears are getting to you. I am kind of hungry, and they are kind of delicious. I feel like I yelled at you guys this week. And I feel like you're too good to yell at. I feel like you're doing awesome stuff out there. Like all the things you guys are sending me and telling me is awesome. And then I'm reading stuff that pisses me off. And then I'm coming and yelling at you guys. I don't know if that's good. I don't want to lose you. But if I'm not talking to you, I guess I'm not talking to you. Maybe I'm just giving you words to yell at somebody in your own life. Or maybe words to yell at yourself. That's probably what we should be doing. Life. It's a weird malaise. And winter's going to make it harder, you guys. Unless you're in sunny Florida, a Caribbean island, somewhere South America. It's going to be getting cold for you and dark for you. Shorter days and being trapped inside even more. You should start these little rituals for yourself now. Start meditating in the sun. Start reading outside. Really enjoy the warm while it's there. And don't just enjoy it in the present. Enjoy it so well that you can taste the warm. You can like take a deep breath and feel the temperature go into your lungs. And you can feel how bright the sun is, that it makes your eyes go fast back and forth because it's so bright that you still, even with your eyelids shut, it's almost not enough flesh to keep the brightness out. Take all of it in. Energetically, visually, spiritually. Because that's the stuff we're going to need. That's the stuff we need. Sometimes it feels like a cold dungeon. A cold dungeon that even if it has a window, it's a window that faces north or south. So you haven't gotten to see the sun in so long. You haven't gotten to felt the sun in so long. You're chained to the wall and your arms and shoulders hurt. Your nails are dirty and your feet are cold. Sometimes energetically, you feel like that. But if you have these moments of what the warm sun feels like, it gets you through one more day. And sometimes the warm sun is like another person or a painting. Any number of things, a pet. But those moments, those things, those kids and beaches, those like laughter for no reason, and it cuts you up and it's so stupid you can't even explain it to another person who wasn't there. Those are the moments like you really have to sit in those and feel them, because they're like getting us to feel all the bad stuff that we're not supposed to feel. And they're making us miss out on all the good stuff. And they're getting us to miss all the million little things that we used to do to get through our million little tiny moments in the sun. We're forgetting those. And then because of our algorithms and our shitty egos and our fear of letting anyone see us as a fool or unhappy, we all post, you know, our fairy tale lives. And then we all judge each other that our fairy tale lives aren't as good as our friends' fairy tale lives. And then everybody else's life is good, but my life. And I'm so different than everybody else. I'm sadder than everybody else, darker than everybody else, miserable. I'm just going to kill myself. No, you're not. That's what they want us all to think. We need to rewind. Let's see. If you have nice weather, you need a kiddie pool. You need squirt guns. You need mushrooms. You need friends. Yeah. You should do that kind of stuff for yourself. Laugh a little. Laugh a lot. Be stupid. Be silly. What else? What else? What else? Let's see. Have I been on any cool digs this week? Oh, you know what? I was on Fringe FM this week. You can totally go check that out. I was also on Union of the Unwanted, and it was a fun podcast. It was on spirituality, which isn't, you know, not that it's not their normal. The Union of the Unwanted talks about everything. I was on there. It was a fun cast of people talking about all sorts of things. I mean, the list of like who's who in conspiracy that was on the show. I don't even want to begin because I feel like if I miss anyone, it'll be disrespectful. So check out the latest episode of The Union of the Unwanted. It was on spirituality. It was super fun. And also check me out on Lighting the Void. I was on there last night, and that is on fringe.fm. And it was a chill time and good to hang out. And yeah. Are any of you out there into Stephen King, or have you read Stephen King in your life? Part of that like programming and like, you know, like the 1984 and the Stephen King and the Running Man and these kind of like other ideas that give us this apocalyptic thinking, but is part of our big programming of like, here's the most famous authors that everyone reads, and here's the most famous, you know, like Stephen King's, like J.K. Rowling's, you know. I was just thinking of that book and how it's kind of so that book's very left behind. That book has that wash of I Am Legend, you know, last man standing after like a worldwide kind of apocalyptic event. You're left here with like you with nothing, or you with all zombies, or you with just despair because everybody else disappeared. Yeah, that's always the fear, is that you're going to be left behind. Like you'll be the one that doesn't get invited on the spaceship when the firmament unzips and the spaceships drop down with med beds. And you're not going to be invited. Is it a fear? Is it like a heavenly fear of like, I don't know. That's kind of an odd thing. Like the invite that, and the name of my next TED talk is going to be like, do I RSVP heaven? What's the dress code? Like, I don't know if I want the invite. Like, don't just snatch me up out my house. Don't just snatch me. You better ask me. I want to decide on this. Yeah, UFO, just don't beam me up, Scotty. You will have a mad ass bitch on the other side. Like, I will vapor form into like boop, 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 boop into your spaceship, and I will not have a happy look on my face. I will not have a happy look on my face. You will be instantly scared. It will not be good. So I'm just saying, I'm one of those people like, maybe you should text before you just show up at my house. Yeah, you better try texting a bitch before you just beam her up to heaven or a spaceship. I need a warning. I need a warning stand, Mr. Stephen King. No, those people don't get beamed up anywhere. They actually just turn to mush. They get coronavirus and turn to mush. Okay. I don't know if this was fantastic. I do think I prattled on a bit too long. I do plan on editing and having mine and Caleb, the Primal Beast official, up probably in the next few days, actually. And I don't know. I'm not going to be so reliant on a schedule anymore. I feel like I want to talk to you guys more frequently. I don't want to give myself any kind of timeline. I had somebody say to me like, oh, it must be hard to just go in there and have to kill 100 or, you know, an hour on a mic. And I don't want you guys to think I ever have a timeline set. Like, I don't look at anything and think I have to fill time. And if it feels that way ever, I don't really want to do it. I don't want to be a time filler. I want to feel like, it's kind of a flow and fun and a hang and sometimes hot and sometimes chill and sometimes happy and sometimes sad and sometimes funny and sometimes heartfelt and everything in between. So I definitely don't want to set time, and maybe I don't want to set schedule, and maybe I always wanted to say see you next Tuesday, even if I never, ever, ever release it on a Tuesday. Oh, you guys. I do have to work today at my human job, and I'm going to love it, and I'm going to be great at it, and it's going to be magical and wonderful, and I'm going to ooze fun and flirty and drop off the best Chicago beef sandwiches you have ever had in your life. So on that note, I wish you all the very, very best energy. I wish you all a piece of freedom this week, whatever that means to you. I was talking to a friend of mine who just bought a Sea-Doo. And if you're a Floridian, having like a jet ski, Sea-Doo, these type of things is, akin to kind of a motorcycle. A lot of people have them. And there is just this feeling if you've ever been on a motorcycle, and I actually say if you've been on the back of a motorcycle and you've gotten to spread your arms all the way out while somebody's driving, almost in that like Jack and Rose type way, except you're in the back of somebody. But you really can just shut your eyes and get this sense of fucking flying. And it's so amazing. There's something so wonderful about doing that on the water. And just being on a personal watercraft of that nature, something smaller that's not a whole boat. Boats give you that feeling too. But just where it's like kind of just you. You're just flying across the water. And there's even that feeling, yes, you can get hurt. Everybody knows you can die falling off a jet ski. It's not, but it is. And not that water hitting at a certain speed or angle isn't just like hitting cement, but there is something about it that is definitely a little more forgiving than the asphalt or cars or the road and all that jazz, or the ground when you're actually flying or jumping out of a plane. But yeah, I hope whatever moment gives you that piece of freedom, I hope you do it for yourself this week. Be a big kid. Hug somebody that you've been putting off hugging. And call one person that deserves to hear it, that you've had, like, just out of your laziness, just out of one of your work days leading into now feeding your children, leading into now you have to go to an appointment, leading into now you have to do this other phone call with a family member, leading into now you got into a tiff with your spouse, leading into just one person that you know needs it and that you really always makes you happy every time you think of them. Call them and tell them that you love them this week. Do the awkward phone call. It'll be good for you. It'll be good for them. And maybe you're the one, especially if it's with an older person in your life, maybe you're the one that needs to heal their trauma. And maybe some of the trauma that you have, even though they put it on you, you're at a place that you healed from it and you could help heal theirs. So anyway, blah, blah, blah. There's a whole bunch of sporadic thoughts and ideas, and hopefully energy sent to you. And I will be back next week, or back soon, back in the next couple of days with the Primal Beast. I will be rebooking Marissa. And so probably have that out to you in the next couple of weeks. I'll be hanging out with a few fun shows also coming up in the next couple of days. So I'll keep you guys posted, and I love you, and I will talk to you very soon. Maybe even sooner than Tuesday. Bye-bye.
So she has been Cheney, and now she's off to smoke a blunt. See you next Tuesday, you fucking cunts.